podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
All right. What's up, everybody? This is the Talking Tactics Podcast. My name is Daniel.
It's your boy.
I slightly forgot my name. You'll hear the Yeah, we do the podcast every Tuesday. Remember to follow us on Twitter, Instagram. If you're on Spotify, give us a follow. If you're on Apple Podcasts, subscribe. It's free. Leave us a 5-star review and we'll read it on the show. Yeah, we're on Patreon. Remember to check that out. We talked about multiculturalism and Demi Lovato and a whole bunch of stuff on the last one.
Demi? So
links are in the description. What happened?
Oh, man. No, I spilled some strawberry syrup on my table.
Oh, damn. How would I say this? International competitions, it's like a lot at once. But this is like a slow grind of club football. So how do you feel?
I enjoy a competition a lot more. But in terms of workload, the club thing is much better because it's more spaced out. Like this Euros thing, it was madness.
It depends. Like the World Cup or international competitions that I really like, I prefer those way more. You know, if you make me watch like the Gold Cup, Euros to an extent. The Asian Cup is oddly timed. I don't even know what channel it comes on. Probably because people aren't going to stay up at 2 a.m., 3 a.m. So that's like that. That's the one tournament I have a blank space in where I don't really have a good gauge of Korean, Japanese, Chinese, Australian football like that. But I think club football is what I prefer. But I do love an international competition. But a lot of stuff has happened in the past month. I don't know. Do we start with major stories or do you just want to kind of go through clubs and we can talk about maybe the major talking point from each club for like a little bit?
Oh, no. I think there are like main topics to go through. And then I think the biggest thing is PSG and their spending, you know? Donnarumma, Hakimi, Ramos. But does that change anything? You know, will that... is that going to extinguish the stench of LSG? No.
Did you see the clip that went around social media today where Ramos was taking, I guess, his like official photo for PSG Twitter? Or do you know that thing when they're doing the lineups at the beginning of a game and like the players just kind of walk in the formation? And maybe he was doing something like that, or maybe taking a picture for FIFA or something. And he looks to his left shoulder as if his captain's armband is meant to be there, but it's not there. And he just didn't know what to do with like his arm. It was like, you could tell it was such a muscle memory thing. Like he puts on his kit, he stands up and he just kind of goes to his shoulder and kind of paws at it. But then he's like, oh yeah, I'm not PSG captain. And then his arm just doesn't know what to do.
Muscle memory.
So for me, there was like sad music under it, and like, it brings people to tears and stuff like that. I don't know. Madrid fans love Ramos, and Ramos didn't want to leave, so I understand like the connection that they have. But for me, it's like that's what PSG need. They need somebody who's just a natural leader. Who, like, he wants the armband there. He wants the responsibility. How good can he be 3-4 years from now? Who knows? But this season, I think Ramos can be a big difference, you know? And my line of thinking was, when you have Marquinhos and Kimpembe as a center-back partnership, that can only be but so effective. Because Marquinhos isn't a veteran. Like he's getting to that level, but he's not like, you know, like a Thiago Silva, like a Ramos, like one of those players. He will be, but he's not that yet. Ramos has the experience of kind of having the sidekick next to him in Varane for years and years. So he'll know probably how to better marshal Kimpembe. And Marquinhos has the footballing skill to where he can now step into midfield at the base of midfield if Pochettino wants to do that. Or you could play a double pivot with him and Verratti. There's like a lot of interesting formational things that you could do with Ramos Kimpembe rather than Ramos Marquinhos Kimpembe on the bench, but you could do that if you wanted. It's just, I think it's a really good signing. So,
I mean, for me, I think it's the big question is Kimpembe. Do you put Marquinhos back into midfield and pair it with Kimpembe, because Kimpembe is obviously French and you want to maintain him, or is Kimpembe now dropped and you have a defensive partnership of Marquinhos and Ramos? Because Marquinhos is the superior defender.
Yeah.
Or as I say, if you're thinking of getting Pogba, then you have the double pivot of Marquinhos and Verratti with Pogba at the top of the key. Maybe that's the thinking, you know?
Or perhaps what if the real thinking is, if you look at what Chelsea did with their back three or back five, however you want to put it, Hakimi as a right back isn't fantastic. Hakimi as a right wing back, however, is one of the best in the world. You could have the three center backs. Marquinhos, Ramos would vie for whoever wants to play in the middle. And then you have kind of the pace of Kimpembe to get anything that gets him behind. And then Verratti can play in a two. And then could you have a kind of a two in midfield of Verratti and Wijnaldum? Then maybe that's the thinking. That, like, Hakimi is the question mark more so than Kimpembe. Like, what are you doing with him? If he's a wing back, then you play all three center backs. And then you have the two in midfield of Verratti. Well,
you could just do what Real Madrid used to do, which is we know what his defensive frailties are, because this is what they did with Marcelo. We'll live with it. So that means that obviously whether it's a Ramos or Marquinhos, you just have to be smarter, and all the Verratti or Idris Gueye, you have to now be mindful of the space that Hakimi leaves whenever he goes up, because you're willing to live with the defensive frailties based on what he brings to you going forward, which is exactly. Whoa! Shit.
Damn. Yeah. Oh yeah, is it today? What's it called? Freedom Day.
Yeah, it's free. Yeah. I think guys going,
oh,
yeah, man, it's for free,
my way. I'm staying inside and I'm wearing a mask, if you ask me.
No, yeah, because what's it called? Like, let me even, what's it called? The NHS said, what did the NHS say? They said they just sent us like a mass text message. So from Monday, please continue to wear a face covering and maintain social distancing and hand washing when visiting health and care set settings. This includes your GP and any hospital appointments. There you go. So wow. I said, don't get cute. But no one's going to listen, man, because no one believes the government. So,
like, if they wanted to go back three, midfield four, and then the front three, you'd have Donnarumma in goal potentially. Or if not, Keylor Navas. Either way, it's not bad. Marquinhos, Ramos, Kimpembe. Then you'd have Hakimi, Verratti, Wijnaldum. I don't know who their left back or left wing back would be. Maybe you could help me with that one. And then a front three of Neymar, Mbappe, Di Maria.
Wait, isn't this what's called Kozawa or something like that?
Kozawa? That's like the 1 week point then, is their left back or left wing back. Because I can't think of it. Or I can't think of him. Because what is Bernat? Is he right or left?
It's just one guy from the road, man.
That's the 1 week point. But if you have like one of those center backs with either Kimpembe or Marquinhos on that side, I think it'd be Kimpembe. You can't go wrong like that. Put it this way. Everybody on FIFA 22 is going to be using that team. And it's going to be very annoying. So there's that. But your first question is the most important question outside of tactical formations and all that kind of stuff. Does this get the ultimate goal completed?
If it gets Pogba, they come closer to it, but there's still question marks over Pochettino.
Suppose they do get Pogba, then how does the team play? Stop it. Stop it, Daniel. That's not a...
How does the team play?
Like, what formational setup do you use?
4-3-3. So you have the back four. You have the two double pivots, Pogba at the top of the key, and then what was it called? Mbappe, Neymar, and whomsoever as a striker. Because I an attacking setup of Pogba, Neymar, and Mbappe is freaking ridiculous, man.
Hakimi was 60 Pogba mil, right?
Isn't leaving thing in, though.
That's my, like, Hakimi was 60 mil, right?
I think so.
And Ramos and Donnarumma were free, but pay the wages and the agent. I think Pogba only goes there if Mbappe goes to Madrid. Like, that's too much. It's just too much. Like, I don't think the world of football would allow Neymar, Pogba, Mbappe, Di Maria, Verratti, Marquinhos. Like, it's too much.
But the world did allow and saw Zidane, Ronaldo, Figo, Roberto Carlos in the same team.
And you know what football said? Only one. You'll only win one of everything. Because yeah.
That's
just too much.
The beauty of all football. The thing is that it's not just, let's just do FIFA Ultimate Team and we'll then win everything. No. It's more complicated than that, man. So even if they get Pogba, they're not guaranteed to win because they still have a guy called Mauricio Pochettino who bottled the league to Yilmaz. So.
Respect.
Like, but it's really, he did, like, he literally bought it to a dude called Yilmaz.
I think Pogba's contingent on what happens with Mbappe this summer. I think Mbappe's gone, but I think he's gone next summer.
No, that's the question is, there's no thing does he go this summer? So the big thing is, basically, the big thing of this whole podcast is, what is the transfer this summer? Is it Kane to City, Pogba to PSG, Mbappe to Madrid, or Haaland to Chelsea? What is going to be the really big transfer this summer, or will there be one? Because a lot of people think that it's going to be Harry Kane. But Levy, bro, if he has to take a gunner and put it to Kane's head, he'll do it.
You know what Kane's mistake was?
What?
He did what Zaha did. He signed like a slave indentured servitude contract of like, I think he signed a 6-year extension in 2018, which means his contract ends in 2024. So that means he has 3 more years left on his deal.
Doesn't matter. You see, this is now where you have to play hardball. I was reading something where someone said, if Kane doesn't report for preseason and tries to force a move, he will forever dent his image and so forth. I'm like, shut up. He's like, he's England captain and so forth. As I shot there, no one cares about that crap. You want to leave, and you're dealing with a guy who has zero intention of selling you. The only way to work with a guy called Levy is you play hardball, which of course is what. Do you think he wanted to sell more Modric or Bale? No. But Modric and Bale were like, look, we want to go. And obviously the money was there and boom.
Yeah.
But the difference though, he always knew that I have something to fall back on. This is now where you lose you lose Kane, it's over. It's finished. You know, there is no nothing else to fall back on.
Do you think Kane has it in him to do what Diego Costa did?
No.
Diego Costa, now obviously the manager told him kind of, piss off. So he's like, okay, fine. Like, I'll wait out here until I get my move to Atletico. But he went to Brazil. He just went home. He went to Brazil. He was messing with animals, and he was on like a Sea-Doo. Is that what those are called? Like a jet ski, whatever those things are. He was just having a good time. He didn't show up the preseason. He didn't do any of that. And he got his move to Atletico. It didn't work out for him, but he got his move. Kane would have to do something similar to that. Like, he would just have to stay on one of, like, the Spanish party islands or something like that. And, I'm not showing up. It's the Euro break. And then, he hasn't showed up yet. Nah, he'll be back next week. He doesn't show up the next week. I'll be back next week. And he just doesn't show back up until he goes to Man City. And then you see him at their training center. Something like that. Does Kane have that attitude in him, knowing that he has 3 years left on his contract? I don't think so.
That's why you need to grow some balls and toughen up. You need to grow some freaking cojones and toughen the F up, man.
Also, I don't think if you're Harry Kane, I don't think you perceive Tottenham to be as toxic as people on the outside perceive it to be. I think a little bit of that creeps in from the outside. Like, I don't think there's any way it can.
Toxic from what? What do you mean by toxic? It's not about being toxic. It's about
I mean we perceive Tottenham to be losers. That's what I mean by toxic.
But that's not the issue. That's not the issue. The issue here is, I want to win a trophy. And do I have a chance of winning a trophy with this team? Look at how many goals I score. They've now gone to get a decent manager, but again, not this great super manager. Look at who we've bought. It doesn't seem realistic that I'm going to win a trophy. And I'm now right in the sweet spot of my career now. So he knows that if I want to move, I need to get away. Because the danger you have is, what if you have a really bad year and another bad year? Then those clubs look at you like, Kane is not so good now. Let me look somewhere else. So you have to strike when the fire is hot, man. So
my point was, you see that from the outside. I see that from the outside. But does Kane see that on the inside? Like, can he see the forest? Can he see the forest for the trees? Like, is he so attached to the idea of Tottenham and the everyday staff that he sees and his friends that are there and all of that, to where he thinks, there's no way I can win anything with Son or with Ali or with Højbjerg or with Lloris. Like, these guys don't have what it takes to win me a trophy, so I need to go to Manchester City. I don't know if Kane is capable of doing that, even though for us, again, on the outside, we can kind of see Spurs, the culture. There's clearly something up if you haven't won a trophy there since 2007, 2008, I think. And you've had the teams to at least win an FA Cup or a League Cup or something. But you just haven't. You know, you're a week from a final with Mourinho and you sack him. Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Honestly, what are we doing? You think Ryan Mason is better to win a trophy against a pet? Like, what are we doing? But maybe Kane is just what if he's just content?
Unless he's either basically then you're a loser. But for me, I can bet you right now that Kane, of course he knows. He knows that look, there is no chance that I can win it. It's very unrealistic. I don't say no chance, it's very unrealistic for me to win a trophy here. So
you don't sign a 6-year contract if you think Spurs can't I can't do something with Spurs.
That was 6 years ago, bro.
It was 4 years ago. It was 3 years ago.
3 years ago, fine. 3 years ago is 3 years ago. Okay. So 3 years ago, you're like, oh, maybe something. But then afterwards, you're like, oh, geez, this, we're not really going anywhere. You know? So.
Well, think at the first year of his contract, they go to a Champions League final. So that was 2 years ago. It's not that long ago that they lost the Champions League
final. And then what has happened since then?
It did. I forgot that point.
There you go.
Lucas, man. I'd love to interview Lucas and just ask him.
And then like, you, in the final, you then dropped a disaster class in the final. So.
Anyway. Which domino do you think will be the first to fall, if any? Because you brought up Pogba, you brought up Mbappe, you brought up Haaland, you brought up Kane. I've seen Lewandowski to Chelsea, but I don't think it's not big enough to be a domino that will then cause other things to fall, I don't think. What do you think?
What do you mean by first domino in what sense?
Well, the way I look at transfers, because we talked about this when Neymar got sold, I think. Like, it was 222 million euros, right? Mm-hmm. So then you look like, where did that money go? So Dortmund got some. Liverpool got, didn't they? Or was that Coutinho? Help me. What happened with the Neymar money? That's what happened. Dortmund got some for Dembele. Liverpool got some for Coutinho. And then Liverpool took that money. And they bought Van Dijk with it. So Southampton got something. And then from there, like, you know how it just goes. So that 200 million, it was pretty much like Coutinho was 140, Dembele was 120 somewhere in there. If you add that together, it's like 260. So that's what the Neymar money is. And then the dominoes fall, and you know, Van Dijk, or again, I don't know what Southampton did with the Van Dijk money, but hopefully they got some good players from it. Danny Ings or something like that. I don't know.
Danny what?
Chelsea are linked. Don't kiss your teeth.
Yeah, yeah. Let them keep linking, man. Let them keep linking, man. Danny Ings. I'm big.
You keep talking about quadruple.
Ings is not coming anywhere near that club, man.
If Chelsea buy Haaland for 150, then Dortmund have to then buy another striker. I know they bought Malen from PSV, but they have now 150 million burning in their pocket. What happens with that cash? Do they pocket it? Do they try to buy somebody with it? Like, that's a Haaland is a domino falling that then creates more transfers in the market. Or if Pogba goes to PSG, that I don't know what number that would be, but somewhere in the hundreds.
Yeah, because that was like the whole Coutinho thing, wasn't it? That where there was everyone, there was like a domino.
Exactly.
Did this happen with Giroud as well? I think Giroud was involved in one of those domino effect thingies. Aubameyang to Arsenal, Giroud to Chelsea. Wasn't that all linked, or was that?
Oh yeah, yeah. That was more like a merry-go-round. That was like you take this one, I take that one, they'll take that. It was Aubameyang to Arsenal. Giroud was at Arsenal. He went to Chelsea, and then Chelsea gave Dortmund Batshuayi on loan. That way they could let Aubameyang go to Arsenal. So it was like, you know, they played nice together. But, yeah, I don't know. How much was Aubameyang? 60 mil? I don't know what they did with that money.
Oh, no, I have no idea what that one.
Because they got a player on loan. They didn't buy anybody. Did they buy Immobile with that money? They might have done. Yeah, they might have done.
Yeah, I think so. I think from Torino.
Yeah, so who knows what Torino did with that money. But those are the kind of dominoes that I think, like, once a big, big name goes for 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 mil, like, that creates a domino. So I'm thinking, like, what is the one this season? It's got to be Haaland. If there's going to be one, that's the one.
Zling.
How do you rate him as a player? Not a striker, but as a footballer.
Not very highly. But no, I'm being real, man. Not very highly, man. I mean, I'm high, but nah, not too highly. Not too highly.
Is he so good at being a striker that you would let that go? Even for that money.
No. Like, for me, I think there are players that have roles. Haaland doesn't need to be a great footballer to fulfill his role. Strikers don't need to be great footballers to fulfill their role. Ronaldo changed the game. Because it's like, oh, you can actually... Which is why Henry spoke about Ronaldo so much, because Henry was like, oh my gosh, so strikers can actually be players, you know? But originally, no, a striker is a striker. That's what Weah was. That's what Batistuta was. That's what Gerd Müller was. So for Haaland, it's like, this guy looks like he is a deadly striker of the ball. And a cold-blooded finisher. So, you know, you don't want to lose that, bruv. You don't want to lose that. But Dortmund is an orphanage. Like, they have orphans that obviously end up leaving. So, they're just there. So, like, we're just going to keep you warm, everything like that. Hopefully, don't sexually abuse you. And then, you know, wow. When everything is fine. Then let you go.
Well, I guess we can bring up Sancho now. You can't sell.
Oh, Sancho, the guy who missed the penalty, the traitor to England.
You can't sell both in the same window, can you? Can you? I mean, if you're Dortmund, maybe you can, but you shouldn't.
You're missing a key aspect. Raiola. If Raiola, who is the agent of Haaland, if he makes the deal this summer, he gets 40 mil. There are rule changes, which means that he wouldn't get that 40 mil next summer because of the changes with the stuff. So it is in Raiola's best interest, if he wants to get that 40 mil, which is a lot of cash, that he makes the deal happen this summer. Chelsea have to have hope in making that yes, pun intended. They have to have hope of making the deal this summer.
So Raiola getting paid is your sliver of hope.
Si, senor.
Or isn't it next year Haaland has a release clause in the 70s? So this year is the year where Dortmund can charge the big price. But next year, if he leaves, then the release clause is 70-75. But you can get double that.
Now brings in Barcelona, Real Madrid, and all these other guys,
exactly, which
puts Chelsea in a much less powerful position. So they have to make it happen now.
If Chelsea are going to buy Haaland, it has to be this summer.
Yes.
Because next summer, after the pandemic will be a little bit further away.
Are you sure about that?
I hope. No is the answer. I'm not sure.
That Chinese bot is still saying what's up, man. That Chinese bot is still saying what's up.
No, I'm not sure. But, you know, we can hope. I'm thinking clubs will be in a better financial position 12 months from now than they are today. So if that's the case, and you have to think as well, Chelsea haven't bought anybody. They've sold, but they haven't purchased. United have spent money this summer. I don't know what Real and Barcelona have done. Liverpool have spent some money. Chelsea, and I think Chelsea have made like 50 million in signings. Like they've sold Tomori for 30. They just sold his name is Mark Guehi.
Center back. Shout out to Patrick Vieira, man. Black managers, man.
Are we Crystal Palace fans this season?
Yeah, of course. that's my second team now. So
Tomori for 25, Guehi for 20, I think it is. They sold Giroud for. I need to discuss this. What's the point of selling Giroud to Milan for 900,000? Why not just let him go for free? I don't get it.
You can get 900,000.
What are you going to do with that?
Oh.
Now look. No. 900,000 for us is.
Thank you. Okay, you know what? Yeah, what are you going to do? Just give it to club, me. Give it
are
to
you
me.
Actually haggling me. Over less than $1 million?
Give me the money. I know what I can do with 900,000. Trust me. Give me the money. I'll try to find something to do with that money. I'll try. It'll be hard though, but I'll try.
Do you know what I think? I don't think that money has anything to do with football. I think that money's going straight into Roman's pocket.
Not
hush money. That's just his play money now. I think most other transfers that happen, that money is like it's Chelsea's money. Like the club is self-sustainable, you know. So if Tomori goes for 30, Roman's not touching that money. That's just the club's money, you know. And you, Marina, whomever can do what she wants to do with it. Haggling over 900,000, and we'll add like a little clause here that if he gets this many goals or makes international appearances or whatnot, it goes up to 2 million euros. I'm like, why are you haggling over Giroud? And how many times are they going to play with Giroud? It wasn't cool. It seemed like every transfer window, this guy was, he was going to Inter, he was going here, he was going there. But then Chelsea just never pulled the trigger because they couldn't get something done. So it's like, bro, you're going to play with him again? Like, what if Milan was just like, no, you guys have played with us too much. Why are we haggling over 100,000 for a player who's 36? Like, I would just, out of respect, I would have let him go for free. But anyway, again, it's not my money. So, but, you know, I just thought it was silly breaking 1970s transfer records. For what? What else do I have written down here on this piece of paper? Did you see the picture of Gomez and Van Dijk?
No.
They're back in training?
I mean, I saw a story about Van Dijk saying that he has no beef with Van Gaal.
Why would he?
No, apparently there's like the tabloid said that he's planning like a boycott of the team because they don't want Van Gaal to be the Dutch coach. And then Van Dijk said, man, screw you effing losers, man. I never said anything like that. So why are you twisting these words and making fake news?
By the way, did we talk about this last week where Grealish released a tweet that said like he did in fact want to take a penalty?
I mean, I read that. I don't know that we talked about that.
No, we didn't. It was just, it goes to the media because a lot of people in the media, I think, did we say it? I don't know if we said it or not. We were like, yo, man, you can't let Saka take a penalty. Do you know what it tells me? Media is not useful anymore. Like sports journalism is not exactly needed because you can go straight to the horse's mouth.
Yeah.
Like Jack Grealish will tell you, no, I offered it's to take a penalty.
It's all in their tweets and everything, yeah.
He just didn't put me on the list. And then you can we can make the assumptions of, you know, Southgate's relationship with Grealish, and maybe he didn't want him to take the fifth penalty because I'm not gonna make you the hero. I'm gonna put who I want to be the hero last. Maybe. If going by your story, I didn't read it, but Van Dijk doesn't need some reporter from The Athletic or The Sun or The Daily whatever to break a story. Like, bro, I'll just go on Instagram or Twitter and I'll tell you myself. Like, I don't have no problem with Louis Van Gaal. Like, if we play together, we play together. Or if we work together, we work together. Like, it is what it is. Basically, lies in the media can just be cut out with one tweet or one Instagram post. So what's really the point of sports journalism if not just to, I don't know, collect rumors and stuff? I don't know.
It's crazy, y'all. It's crazy.
How good is Varane, really?
He's overrated.
Did you see Chelsea are trying to hijack the deal?
Why? But my thing is, are you trying to hijack the deal because, I mean, like, do you need him?
They want him, or they don't want United to have him.
Ah, okay. So they're playing 4D chess.
This is 5D chess. I don't know. It's not necessary. Actually, it's not. Because maybe they think we just sold two center backs. Tomori's gone. Guehi's gone. But they weren't even at the club anyway, really. They weren't playing. But maybe they think two center backs out, one center back in. But you have Sarr, who's back from his loan from Porto. You've got Zuma, Christensen, Rudiger, Silva, and Azpilicueta exists. And Reece James can play there. So why would you need an eighth option? Maybe even if you sold three, do you need five center backs or five people who can play at center back? No. I just think they're just playing around with Manchester United. Let's see if we can't make it a little bit more difficult for them. Have them waste time. Isn't the biggest threat for Haaland though Manchester City?
How do you mean by threat? In what sense?
To Chelsea, I mean. Like, the biggest rival this summer to purchase a striker of that quality is Manchester City. No Aguero. Can you really trust Jesus? No. And who has bigger pockets than them? Or deeper pockets?
But my thing is Haaland a Pep-type striker, though? That's the thing.
Good question.
But my thing is that what strikers are there that exist? Like, David Villa is not around anymore. There's no Cannibal, so. But you see, Jesus is a funny one, man, because even, like, for so long, I was like, yeah, man, this guy, he's that dude. Then when I saw him do, what's it called? Bruce Lee stroke. What's one of the guys? Donnie Yen on my dude. I'm like, yeah. This guy insists, man. You know, that's a separate topic. You know, Brazil's main striker is a dude called Rich.
Eh?
Rich.
R-I-C, like rich, like money.
Rich. His name is not Richarlison. He's called Rich.
Oh.
Should I just do because we're cracking a joke about it? But yeah, like, I mean, that's just a separate thing. But yeah, see, this is where Pep needs to be a manager. It goes back to the whole UCL final. You have to adapt, or die, which is, that's the law of the jungle, adaptation. Adapt, you know? That striker in your mold doesn't exist. You now have to now look at these finishers and so forth and try to adapt them into a winning formula.
What else is Messi? We haven't talked about Messi.
Oh, who was saved by Di Maria and the Pohuza?
He's a free agent by title, but we all know what's happening. Like, he's gonna end up back at Barcelona, right? Basically, his contract expired in the middle of an international competition. So for purposes of, I want to focus on my country and not, you know, anything that has to do with Barcelona, he didn't sign the extension. But if there was no summer tournament to worry about, he would have already signed the re-up, right? That's more of a question. Or do you think he just likes perhaps being...
Go ahead. He's currently holidaying in Miami, which means that everything now fits into place and makes sense. Because you know that story of how, like, was about 2-3 years in Barcelona, and then they're going to go to Inter Miami for like the last few years of his contract and crazy amounts of money in that American market, then come on, being an ambassador. So yeah, I think it's he is going to sign that contract. It's just about working out the details and so, because he's like, I think if he didn't win the Copa America, maybe he'd think about different things, but now he's in a whole different headspace now, because that's like the huge weight off his back.
Yep.
Winning with Argentina. So now he's like super happy and everything's like, hey, you know what? Look, Barcelona, like, so now the whole Champions League thing isn't that big a deal. Because I think the Champions League was sort of like a remedy for the heartache of not winning something with Argentina. Now he's not done that. He's like, man, okay, F it, this whole Champions League thing. I'll just be loyal to Barcelona, whatever you want. Let me come into this MLS market now. Do you know how huge that's going to be when Messi goes to the MLS? In terms of just marketing. Because nobody markets better than America. Like, look, what America needs to realize is that if Pele going there didn't change things, nothing's going to change.
That's what I was just about to say.
So the MLS, America will always never understand or appreciate football. That's just a fact. I'm just talking in terms of branding. Just him going there, the marketing and so forth. Because what you're not going to get is, first of all, he's going to give birth to that entire league for the 1 year. It's going to be embarrassing. But the amount of viewers they will get. But here's the thing, though. People say Pele. Yes, Pele is Pele. Pele isn't Messi in terms of marketability, fame, and popularity, and the social media era. So the popularity of Messi is on a whole different level.
What year did Pele go to the Cosmos? 1975.
He left Earth.
the team was the New York Cosmos.
I know.
And it wasn't MLS. It was the North American Soccer League. So I think it's like I think it still exists. The club still exists, right? Oh no, it was dissolved in 1985. Damn. I don't know, man. Were they rocking with black people in 1975 like that? Like, how marketable could Pelé be, really, in 1975? Like, okay. But Messi's just Messi. Mm-hmm. Messi's, did you see he has like the most liked, what's it called?
Yeah, 20 million.
Yeah. Pelé didn't have that.
No, you're dealing with something totally different, man. And it'll be interesting to see just Messi in MLS. It'll be very interesting, man, because their numbers are going to go up like crazy.
What would make it pop, but it can't happen, is if you had Messi and Cristiano in MLS at the same time. Because that's the only thing that Americans really understand about football, is that Messi and Ronaldo have a rivalry. That's basically it. Like the average American, those are the two footballers that they know or can say. Cristiano, Ronaldo, and Messi. So put them in the league at the same time, but it can't happen because I don't know if Ronaldo's cleared to step on U.S. soil.
Without
that being a slight legal issue.
Yeah.
For my purposes, go to America. I want to see it happen because I think you probably should go on trial, bro. Or at least, you know, answer some questions.
No, bro, he ain't going. The same thing with that dude, that clown, Polanski.
They're
not touching that.
Was it Real Madrid or Juventus who like rescheduled their whole preseason tour idea? It might have been Juventus who were like, in the summer that he came, they were thinking about going to America on tour. They signed Ronaldo and they canceled it. Mm. Don't quote me. But like, yeah, people, Ronaldo hasn't been to America since. I'm seeing Lukaku. He's in Miami. He's working with Chad Johnson. Doing like wide receiver kind of drills with like the fast feet. I'm like, if Lukaku gets the Chad Johnson fast feet, oh man, Inter's gonna be fun to watch next season. But yeah, America footballers love going to America. Pogba, Lukaku, Batshuayi will be running America. Messi, you just see like why are you in Miami? Why are you in LA? You know, Daniel Sturridge might have lived here while he was a free agent.
Yeah,
California.
Yeah,
he
was going for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. But Ronaldo, nowhere to be seen. Why are you afraid of the States, Cristiano? If he wasn't guilty, he would have nothing to hide. Right? He would come and enjoy the weather. But why are you scared? What did you do to where you're so scared? Didn't think about it like that, did you? All right. What else do we have written down on this sheet of paper? Griezmann. Is he going back to Atletico?
That's a great question, because he is leaving Barcelona. But to where is the big question, man.
Do you want him at London Blues?
Only if Chelsea have a striker, not with Timo Werner.
What is going on in Freedom Day, man? Damn. That's like the third ambulance I've heard, man.
Everything is popping off, man. Everything is popping off, man.
London, man. It's a crazy city. Would I want Griezmann at Chelsea? Yes. I think it makes a lot of sense, actually.
But who is a striker? Like, he's a guy who really, yes, he scores goals, but he also assists and provides. He's a good creator, but who is he creating for?
Amen. He's better than what exists.
Or you're dissing Mason Mount?
Like, I didn't name names, bro. Why do you got to put names? I didn't say names. I didn't say no names. I just said he's better than what exists. I could have been talking about Havertz. I could have been talking about Pulisic. I could have been talking about Ziyech.
Name the names.
I could have been talking about oh man, you can't even do that with his name because it's two M's. If I wanted to call him like Dren, you could spell it better than I could pronounce it, but yeah. I wasn't talking about Mount Mason. But you know, I could have been.
Mason Mount.
Did you see him underneath the pool like Muhammad Ali? Did you see that online?
Yeah, man. I mean, is he now a boxer now or something?
Okay, I'm just saying that's dangerous, bro. Like, what are you doing? I'm sure. Whenever I see people under the pool, just like holding their breath, doing pitches, I'm like, are you safe? Like,
why wouldn't it be safe?
Is there a lifeguard? Like, just make sure like you're not doing crazy stuff underwater. Just to do crazy stuff underwater. I don't know. I can't swim, so that's where my mind goes first. I can float, but I can't swim. What else is on this piece of paper? Ah, our guy, Mourinho. Are you paying attention? Are you paying attention to Roma? Was it him on Instagram, and he had Chris Smalling and Heinrich Mkhitaryan, and he's like, football is a small world or something like that. Because like the band's back together, and then they interview Chris Smalling. Chris Smalling's voice is hilarious, by the way. Like, he doesn't look like he has that, I don't know, that soft sing-song you have a voice, but he does. It's funny. Yeah, he was talking like, nah, man, Mourinho coming back is fine. He's a winner, and Rome haven't won anything in a while. So, you know, it's good to have a manager like him who can win things. So, you know, I think he's saying what he has to say in order to make sure he's in the starting 11, I think. But, yeah, man. How much more attention will you pay to Roma this season than you did last season?
Hold on. Look, forget Roma. Just Syria as a whole, I think it's going to pop off. I think because of Italy winning the Euros the way that they did, people are going to be more interested into the Syria now.
Mm.
So I think the series as a whole is going to be really exciting this season. So,
all right. And before we get to questions, where are Arsenal getting all these targets and money from? Like, are they actually like spending money? I'm seeing them link. First, they bought two players. They bought a player today. Oh,
Ben White? Did they buy Ben White, or they haven't bought Ben White?
They put 50 on Ben White from, I think, Leeds. Don't quote. Or no, Brighton. So that's 50 there. They're trying to buy Aouar from Lyon, but the French television deal is so bad that a lot of the French clubs are going to have to let go of talent at cut prices, basically, to make up for the lost money from the television deal that failed after like a few months last year. I saw them linked. Who's the other player Arsenal were linked with? Locatelli.
Yeah, but I think Juve are gonna get it. Prospects, it's gonna go to Juventus, man.
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, Arsenal are trying it though. Like, are they trying it just to appease fans? Like, no, I think they're actually trying it. They won't get it, but they're trying.
How do you know they're actually trying that? They're not doing it just to appease fans.
Well, I thought something similar with Partey, but they actually were trying it.
Partey, zoom, zoom, zoom.
Is that song, like, on, do you have that on your playlist?
Actually, that's a good point. I should actually get it on my playlist. Thanks for reminding me. Where's my phone?
Is it an official single? Like, can you find it?
I went to the guy's, yeah, that has a Twitter page, and yeah, it's an official thing.
Doneo?
Oh my gosh, man. It was 31 Celsius earlier to today, man. And it's 10 p.m. now, and it's 24 Celsius.
Toasty. Did you see that on iPhones, you can't get a temperature of 69 degrees Fahrenheit?
Why not?
They just don't use it. Like, the temperature, it's either 68 or 70, but it's never written down as 69. Do with that information what you will. I don't know. Maybe Apple doesn't like, you know, memes or something. Who knows? All right. Let's pull up the phone. And what questions have the people asked us? Nothing too heavy, I hope. Ooh, NBA questions. Game 6 predictions for the NBA Finals tomorrow. I'm going with Bucks to finish the job and Giannis to get his ring and Finals MVP from Damian Perez. What are we saying?
It's going 7 games.
So you got the Suns?
In game six. I don't know how, but I think the Suns will take it to an epic game seven in Arizona.
I got the Bucks at home. Close it on home floor.
Yeah, but then can they deal with it? I mean, look, if you go by how it's happened, they gave birth to them in both of their games in Milwaukee. But a 3-4 is different from a closeout 6. So my thing is that, yeah, you know, you can beat them in a 3-4, but can you not beat them where this is it? Because what's it called? There's like a video where Jalen says that, you know, I don't normally say this, but, you know, Milwaukee, be loud, be loud, be loud. I was like, okay,
man. Yeah, this is like, so funny, bro.
No, he is. Because you see, it's weird, man, because like, whenever like I watch sports, I always like rooting for teams who've never won before. Like, I just like the story of like a team winning it for the very first time. So it would be cool if the Suns were to win, you know. But my thing is, Giannis is Nigerian, technically Greek, but really he's Nigerian. So I think it was just that. Just walk on your free throws, man. Walk on your free throws, bro. But you know what? I like it. I like it's my mentality. You can do all the counting and everything. I am going to take my time, settle myself, and just focus. And you can just see like he's working on it. That clown Ben Simmons isn't working on anything, man. So that guy's just a fool. At least he's working on it. But yeah, look, man. Just if the guy just, and I think with free throws is, I remember Kobe was saying this like years ago. And we're saying that, like, something to the effect of, if you really focus on the technique, you can't miss. That huge, and he said like he would take like hundreds of free throws. If you just focus on the technique and so forth, you can't miss. And the thing with a free throw is it's about technique because it's physics. So it's knowing the stroke you have, the power, the flight, the drop, and the dip. Well, no, stroke, yeah, and the dip. So basically, if you want to just understand the physics and the logistics of it, you should be a very good free throw.
The problem with Giannis's shot is it's too army. Not army like Navy, but army like he uses too much of his arms. And your arms are a fallible thing. Like, you can't do the motion exactly the same way.
Now, is that because his arms are too long?
Every time. I have no idea. Really, he needs to bend his legs a bit more and start with a better base. LeBron has this same problem as well, where his free throws are too upper body and army instead of coming from his feet and his hips and his legs. That's where a good shot comes from. If you notice, like a Klay Thompson when he shoots, or Steph when he shoots, or Ray Allen, everything is centered around the base, you know. So when Giannis gets to the free throw line and he does the kind of muscle memory thing with his arms, I look at that and I think, like, yeah, but you don't do that. It's very stiff. It's the same problem Ben Simmons has. His shot is all arm, and he doesn't have the kind of foundation that you need with your legs. So it's something that can be worked on, to Kobe's point. But yeah, it annoys me that, like, nobody's tried to work on that with him, because an NBA player should make, even the worst, you should make 60-65% of your free throws. To be in the 50s is a disgrace. Unless you're Shaq. I get it with Shaq. Your hands are too big. The ball feels like a feather, you know. And you're running up and down the court. You're tired. You're 300 pounds, 7 feet tall. You know, okay, I get it. You don't have legs and you can't feel the ball. So it's just a guess. But Giannis, he should be able to shoot better. But I think maybe you do have a point. Like, the ball might be too small for his hands to actually get a good feel of it. Anyway, but then you say that, but Kawhi has huge hands and he hits free throws. So, yeah, it's about mechanics, physics, as you say. Another basketball question. Oh, it's in here somewhere. Somebody got one in the last minute. Congratulations, Matt FCB. All right, this is from Adaj. It says, will basketball ever get to the point where there are 5 to 6 teams that can legitimately win the Olympics like there are in the World Cup? So go ahead. Because I'm sure this goes to the, you know, Nigeria.
Because you know what I said, this is what I said before, that the most unbeatable sports team is the American basketball team. Mm-mm. And that's what I've always said, that it is one sports team that they can't lose.
The United States women's basketball team is the most unbeatable team. Not even in football, because teams like France and Brazil and women's soccer can win. But I say soccer because I'm thinking the Americans. But the United States women's national basketball team, they can't be beaten. Not by anybody. The men can be beaten. We saw that in 2004.
With Allen Iverson. Yeah, and your boy, when your boy did the dunk. I think
That was 2000. Yeah, Sydney.
Yeah,
I think my guy has a gold medal.
Yeah, 04. Argentina won it in 04, I think. Yeah. No, my thing is, it's changing. I think when I was watching basketball in the 90s, it was the heyday. So Jordan, Barkley, all these dudes. So I was like, okay, so my thing was then. So they're still good, but they're not as good as they once were. And now the rest of the world has now caught up. And a lot of people right now, so when I was watching it in the 90s, there were hardly any Europeans, you know. And what's it called? Apart from what's Kukoc and all these dudes. Fast forward to now.
Petrovic, Vladimir Divac.
But it's like, there's so many Europeans now and so many guys around the world who are playing in the NBA. So now it isn't as lopsided as it was back in Barcelona 992,
Atlanta. Who's the dude on the Trailblazers in the 90s?
Oh, I don't know.
Sabonis. Arvydas Sabonis. He was cold, man. He was cold. He was good. Oh, okay. In the 1992 Olympics, the U.S. women's basketball, they lost. They got a bronze medal in 1992. I wonder what happened. But then, since they started letting professionals play, gold medal, gold medal, gold medal, gold medal, gold medal, gold medal. They've played, what's 8 times? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 8 times 6 is what, 48? They played 48 games in the Olympics since 1996. They've lost 0 times. They haven't lost in the group stage or the knockout rounds. These girls are good. Or women, rather, you know. You know what I don't like about the Olympics, though? The coaches don't get medals.
Oh, they don't?
Nah. If you go back and you look at who would have coached the Nigeria team in 96?
Oh, Bonfred. You mean in football?
Yeah.
Bonfred Joe, who was the assistant to Westerhof in 94. Basically, white Dutch dude.
He doesn't have an Olympic gold medal at his house.
That's crazy.
Unless they gave him one, like the Nigerian Federation got one to give to him, but like he wouldn't have got one on the stand. It's just the athletes that get. So, you know. We were doing questions. But yeah, I hear your point, though. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. I think he wants 5 or 6 teams that can win. That have a legitimate chance to win. Really, the America, Spain, Canada, maybe. China should have a team that can win. I mean, you have 1 billion people. You should find 11 dudes that can hoop. Same thing with India, right? Nigeria, too. Y'all guys, there's so many Nigerians around the world. Like, you look, oh, Nigeria has 200 million people. But what about the Nigeria, like, diaspora? Not just the African diaspora, but the Nigerian. The African diaspora is, like, everybody. But just Nigerians. Nigerians are everywhere. Y'all should have 11 dudes that can hoop. There's Nigerians in Australia. Shout out, Eddie. There's Nigerians in Asia. There's Nigerians in Europe. There's Nigerians, obviously, in America. Are y'all in South Africa? Oh, South Africa. I mean, y'all are in South Africa. This is causing problems. Are you guys in South America? There must be. There must be Nigerians there. that just moved there because, you know, education or whatever.
The case. But my thing is how many people really care about basketball enough to really, you know, it's not really a priority. Like basically, the priority is football than athletics. You know, those are really the two biggest focuses.
Yeah.
Athletics, yeah. Bruv. Athletics.
I don't know. There's never going to be fiber. America just has too big of a head start on everybody else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Will Juve secure the title next season? Because that's the only trophy I see them winning. The UCL is going to take them 2-3 seasons in a process minimum. There are too many crap players, and the older guys are getting to 40s. So do Juve have a chance to win the Champions League, I guess? And will they get their title back?
They have a very good chance of getting their title back. I think it's Allegri back. So Serie A is going to be fully open. Champions League, no chance, no way. They are way too behind Chelsea, Man City, Bayern, all these dudes.
Here's a good question. Do you think Chiellini and Bonucci can carry over their Euro form over the course of a long season with Juventus? I don't think they can.
No.
I think that was a very particular moment in
it's
time.
It's 7 games. It's what, 7? Exactly. It's games as opposed to what's potentially 40-something games? Come on, man.
And the way that they're going to party that thing, it's going to take them like at least like 2 months to get their bearings back for club football.
Yeah.
Are we seeing FSG ruining Liverpool exactly like they do with the Boston Red Sox, not paying players? I don't know anything about baseball, so I don't know how they've – Fenway Sports Group, I don't know what they've done to Boston.
I think there's a whole Henderson thing, I think.
Oh, what about
it? So basically, like, they don't want to pay him.
They don't want to pay Henderson?
Yeah, man. Like,
what did he do?
Contracts have stalled. So obviously he's asking for something that they're not willing to give to me because they obviously don't value him as much as Salah, Mane, Van Dijk. And this
didn't
thing,
he
man,
win like player of the year last year?
But if you're an American and so forth, they're like, who the fuck? Who the hell is this dude called Jordan Henderson?
You can swear. Like, it's fine.
I don't know. It's like I know who Salah is. I know who these guys are. Henderson. But you have to be careful. Is that forget about him being a fan favorite. You always need that Gattuso, that Ambrosini, that Chiellini, that kind of guy that just holds your team together and has those intangibles. Who? Oh, God. Wait, did you just say Abate? Jesus.
You used to go in on that dude. I just wanted to bring him back into your consciousness. He was really fast. He was really fast. You could give that to him, but he wasn't a great defender. But yeah. Whenever
I
hear
I was confused with Abate. Abate, that's even worse. That's good.
Well, whenever I hear Ambrosini, I think Abate for whatever reason. Just a Spanish words. Do you know what? Do you think that's why I was going to call him Giannis? What's it? Wijnaldum. Do you think that the Henderson situation could give us a clue as to why he wanted to go? Because maybe they were just, if they don't have a good comprehension of what players do what and why you're important to a team, why would I want to stay here? Because it seems like they wanted him to stay. At least Klopp and them, they wanted Wijnaldum to stay, but he was like, I think I'm gonna go to France, guys. But Henderson, perhaps, I don't know, it's like a British players aren't really keen to leave, you know, so maybe he's like, no, I really want to stay, I'll do whatever it is. You know, but Wijnaldum's just like, yeah, I'm fine, you know, I'll just go, I'll rob Paris instead of robbing Liverpool, I'm fine. So yeah, you have to know the value of a play. Again, it goes to the point of, do you think people know how to judge midfielders or people who, if you don't accumulate counting stats, meaning like a goalkeeper with clean sheets or saves, or a forward player who gets a bunch of assists or a striker who gets a bunch of goals. If you're just a solid central box-to-box midfielder, do you think people are really interceptions, tackles, all of these kinds of things? Unless you're quite obvious with how good you are with it, like a player like Kante, for instance, you don't really look at Jordan Henderson and think, oh, he's really, really important to the team if you don't know the game. But if you watch the game, you can understand why Henderson is pretty important to that team. So to not pay him, first, that's not good for the dressing room, because he seems like a pretty important figure. He's like the captain, isn't he? Yeah, he's their captain. Like, why wouldn't you pay your captain? Or vice captain, I guess Van Dijk might be the captain. But yeah, that's just dumb. Like, if he's trying to rob you, if he's like, yo, give me 300,000, then all right, like, no. But you should be able to find a happy medium. Isn't there another one? This is from Gowan69. It says, for your conversion math, DT. So I'm glad that somebody decided to help me out with this. Given 9,000 minutes or 100 full games, the average striker would score, and this is based on scoring rates from last season. In England, so over 100 games, the average striker would score 32 goals. In Italy, the average striker would score 36. In France, 40. Spain, 36. And in Germany, the average striker would score 45 goals. So that means if you give them the same amount of minutes, a striker in Germany is going to score 13 more goals in the same amount of time than a striker in England. And Gowan says, do with that what you will.
Where did he get these stats from?
Maybe he added or compiled all the goals from every striker and then averaged them out. What this shows is there is indeed a Bundesliga tax.
What this shows is I left school many years ago, and I left and I stopped doing math.
Also,
as a compulsory subject when I was 16. That's what that means. So
also, this shows Gowan, you have way too much time on your hands. Okay. It's Freedom Day. Maybe you should try to go see a movie or something. I don't know. Wear a mask though, until it's done. You know, Spain. Now, hold on. Based on this, do you find this information accurate? In the sense of, do you think it's harder to score in England than it is in Germany? I think the answer is yes. Is it harder to score in Germany than it is in France? I think the answer is yes. Now, my only confusion here is, based on these numbers, it's the same difficulty to score one goal in Italy as it is in Spain. That gives me confusion. Because from my perspective, it seems easier to score in France than it does Italy. But according to these numbers, it's the same level of difficulty. And England being such a harder place to score than Italy by like a count of 4 goals on average, I don't know about that. But if those are the numbers, those are the numbers. You know, maybe. Do you have like a spreadsheet, Gowan? Like, how did you get to these numbers? That's what I would be interested in. So, you know, hit us up. Taxes exist, FO. Don't you agree?
I mean, look, it's complicated because I still believe that Lewandowski and Haaland will score anywhere they play. But obviously, you could argue that, yeah, like they'd. Their goal ratio is going to be higher in the Bundesliga because it's more open. And in Bundesliga, teams play with more space and they're more expressive, so therefore it's more chances for you to score. So,
all right. Is there anything on your mind that you want to get off your chest? Something that happened Saturday, Sunday, hangouts, or anything like that that you want to discuss? Or
So okay, let me ask you this then. Let's end it with this. What does Messi winning the Copa America mean to you?
Oh, we did this last week. It's important. It's a big deal. It's huge, actually.
But in the larger context, what does it mean in the larger footballing context?
Like I said, it means he can sit at the big boy table.
What's big boy table?
He can sit at the table with Pele. He can sit at the table with Maradona. He can sit at the table with Zidane.
Don't you need a World Cup medal to sit at that table?
Maybe. But, you know, for me, it's my table. I'm inviting him to the meal now. You have an international trophy. Cristiano can come too. It doesn't mean you get, like, you don't get to choose.
No.
You don't get first dibs on, like, the turkey and chicken and the gravy and stuff. But you get to sit at the table.
The whole point of the table is it's a table that's for specific people that have done something specific. And it's not a Copa America is not a World Cup. A Euros is not a World Cup. An AFCON is not a World Cup. An Asia Cup is not a World Cup. A Gold Cup is not a World Cup. They're still big. It's not a World Cup.
I get that. But so you're saying, like, I don't know.
No, like I say, I'm so happy for his achievements. I'm so happy because I think that football needed that. But it's not the World Cup. You know? If he does it next year, then you won't find me. If him and Cristiano do it next year, then you won't be able to find me.
I'm not downplaying the Copa America just to big up the World Cup. Like, I'm not gonna do that. Like, the Copa America is a big deal. The Euros are a big deal. AFCON is a big deal. They're not as big a deal as the World Cup, but winning one is good for you. To not have an international trophy on your resume, to be, people were calling him the GOAT beforehand. I always found that's stupid. Like, you can't shoot blanks for Argentina, have a full clip for Barcelona, and then somehow international football doesn't matter and we should just forget what happens with Argentina. Like, no, I'm not losing my brain to help your argument. You know what I mean? But him winning a trophy and being critical in that win, obviously he didn't score the winning goal and he had a little fumble at the at the end of the game, but they wouldn't be in that position without him. So, like, yeah, it's a big deal. And I understand all the Argentina fans and Messi fans and generally football fans who, like, were happy and thrilled for him. I thought it would have been – I don't ever want to see anybody sad, you know. Like how Neymar was, you know, damn near crying after the game. I thought that was sad because obviously he didn't win in 2019, I think it was, when Brazil won the last one. So, and we've seen Messi in tears before. Like, if they lost again, that was his last chance to win something, I think, because I don't think they're winning a World Cup next year. So it was either now or never, because I don't think he's going to be around in 2024, 2026. Maybe they can, you know, put them in a cryogenic chamber or whatever they do. But, yeah, so to win in your last chance, that's huge. He's not overtaking Maradona. Don't get me twisted. But like I said, you can come down and sit at the table. Maybe you don't have – here's what it is. You ever sit down at, like, the Christmas table and, like, the adults are having a conversation, but you don't say anything. You're just sitting there and you're listening.
I'm not allowed at that table. They don't have their table, and we have our own table. I'm not sitting with it. I don't know how they do it in Canada or so forth. In Nigeria, we're not allowed at that table, bro. Of course, are you crazy? No.
See, sometimes whenever we do Christmas dinner, like the little kids will have their table. Like the adults and the teenagers, like, you know, maybe like 15 to 30 something, they'll have their table. And then everybody else's parents will be in, like, the big table getting the meal first or whatever. But sometimes, on occasion, hey, Daniel, come. What are you doing? And it's basically a conversation of, like, so are you going to school to get your master's? Are you going to do this? What are you doing with your life? What is happening? And, you know, people are just checking on you, right? And sometimes you just linger there for a little bit. You don't say anything. You don't contribute to the conversation. You don't speak unless you're spoken to. But sometimes you're just at the table. And I feel like Messi with his little Copa America, that's the elders coming and say, hey, what are you doing? And he says, yeah, man, I want my little Copa America, man. I'm doing good. And then he just sits down and he's quiet. And he listens to Pele, Maradona, Zidane tell their stories of winning the World Cup and how they overcame racism and cocaine and, you know, headbutting people. But they can sit, he's at the table. He's at the table. It's a very bad analogy, but it is what it is. I'm out. I'm out of stuff. But what does it mean to you, since you want
to
ask?
No. The question was to you. It doesn't matter what it means to me. The question was to you.
So you what is to going on with the police?
Bro, it's London now. Oh, shit. I actually just saw, like, sirens just out my window. Yeah, look, this is what it is now. London, innit? London, mate.
This has been the Talking Texas podcast. Again, we thank you guys for listening. Remember to check us out on Apple Podcasts. Check us out on Spotify. Check us out on SoundCloud.
Yes, sir.
If you want to help the podcast out monetarily, or, you know, if you just want to drop something in a collection plate, let's make it simple. Do you have money that you would like to give us? We should do, like, there's, like, these commercials where they have, like, sad-looking dogs and cats who've been, like, abused and stuff. Yeah, and it's like people. It's like super sappy, and it's like, you know, for only 5 cents a day you can help save one of these animals. We need to make one of those and have, like, the Sarah McLachlan music in the background, like, you know, do you want to help a poor Daniel or a poor HH? put your $3 in the Patreon account and help them, I don't know, buy better microphones or new equipment or whatever it is. All right. Yeah. Where can people find you on the internet?
I'm around, man. I'm around, baby. I'm around.
The link to the Half Hope Football Hut is in the description. So, yeah. Talking Texas podcast. Sometimes funny, sometimes serious.
Always, always. Always football.
We'll see you next week. Peace.
Stay black. Sports Social Podcast Network.